prostatereport.com. That's prostatereport.com.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
The forecast for today, Thursday, June 8th, is mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly clear with a low around 47 tonight, east wind 5 to 8 miles per hour, becoming light and variable. For Friday, a slight chance of showers and then thunderstorms after 1 p.m., mostly sunny, with a high near 83. West winds 5 to 9 miles an hour, chance of precipitation at 20%.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
This is Suzanne McGay coming from Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB. This is our inaugural show here for the county. It's part of a new series, a monthly series called Hunterdon Living, airing every Thursday afternoon from 4 to 5. And it's designed to provide residents and business owners a behind-the-scenes glimpse of the workings and processes of the county government. Your County at Work is the name of our show. And you'll meet the unsung heroes of the county who answers calls for help, who make sure your food is safe, who plow your roads, and you'll discover little-known functions about how your tax dollars are supported by the folks who are doing it for you. That's your County at Work, so welcome. Our first show that we're talking about today, this Hunterdon, your County at Work, has our first guest with us, and we've been selling this show as the Invisible Man, and I hope you took the tease. I hope you decided to join us for this show, but I'm about to introduce you to our Invisible Man, but first I want to let you know that sitting to my left is Chris Bianco, the voice of Hunterdon Radio, and since this is our first show, Chris is here to A, support me, and tell me which dial to push, which knob to turn, and which which thing I need to read next on your behalf. So, our Invisible Man, I'm going to name him right now. It's Millard Rooks. Welcome, Millard.
Thank you, Susan.
I'm gonna call you buddy if I have your permission, because I understand that just about everybody does call you buddy.
That would be fine.
Okay, so henceforth. So, buddy, tell, as our invisible man, tell our listeners exactly what it is you do.
Well, Susan, I'm the superintendent for the Hunterdon County Department of Weights and Measures. And basically what I do is I ensure that the consumers of Hunterdon County are not being cheated at the grocery stores, at the gas stations, or any place else where they would purchase commodities or services.
Let's break that down into a little bit more common language. I'm gonna tell you that Buddy is our weights and measures guy. And as that, you told us what it is you protect and what it is that you're up to. Tell us why that's important. Tell us what it is that what's an average day look like for you, Buddy?
Well, Suzanne, an average day for me is could really be several different things. Number one, I could spend a day in a grocery store. I could be certifying scales to make sure that they're accurate, essentially to make sure that when you order a pound of lunch meat at the deli, you're actually getting a pound. Another day for me could be at your local gas station, certifying and testing the gasoline pumps so that when you pull into the station, when you purchase a gallon of gas, you're getting a true gallon of gas. Another day for me could be I could spend a day at any type of a store, grocery store, a hardware store, and I could be checking packaged products with weights on them to make sure that if you're purchasing 50 pounds of concrete, you're actually getting 50 pounds of concrete. Those are just basically some of the services that I provide.
What qualifies you to do that, buddy?
I was certified all the way back in 1988 as a licensed New Jersey Weights and Measures Inspector through what's called the New Jersey Weights and Measures Basic Training Course. I've also been certified over the years to test scales and in precious metals and pharmaceutical devices, as well as many other professional developments over the years.
And when Buddy and I were talking just before we started the show, he said, "I am a certified weights and measures officer." Is that how you said it? What's your exact title?
My title now is I am the superintendent of Hunterdon County Weights and Measures. However, formerly I was a weights and measures officer for Warren County. We are a law enforcement agency in the state of New Jersey. Basically, we're the consumer cops, that's what people call us.
I've seen your badge. I believe you. So how do you do that? So you're going to measure the scales. I mean, you just go buy yourself a pound of something and make sure it says that? It must be a little bit more scientific than that.
Yeah, it's much more scientific. What I do is I go into a store, and I have a weight kit, which is 30-pound weight kit, stainless steel, Class B weights, certified by the State Office of Weights and Measures Metrology Laboratory to be accurate.
And how often do they check your weights and measures? For interrupting.
That's fine. You interrupt all you want. They must be certified every 5 years.
Okay.
And I get
by the state.
By the state with a certificate of validation. What I do is I go to each scale, and I progressively check the weight from a quarter pound all the way up to the maximum capacity of 30 pounds, which would be a grocery store scale mostly. And once I determine that the scale is within allowable tolerances, which the tolerances are provided by the National Bureau of Standards and Technologies, I will seal the scale with a New Jersey State decal that certifies that the scale is accurate for 1 year, as well as I put, which you cannot see, underneath the scale pan, I put a security seal on what's called the calibration, so that once I'm done with that scale cannot be altered in any way unless that seal is broken.
Well, you see why we're calling him the invisible man? This all happens behind the scenes to protect us and to make sure that the stores actually have the information, right? The stores need the information, too, to make sure. I see you almost as a partner, although when you say officer or whatever, it sounds as though you're checking on them. But in a way you are, but in a way it's their partner to make sure that their scales and weights are accurate.
You know, Suzanne, it really is. It's not just about enforcement. It's a lot of education involved. You know, you want to make sure everybody understands, the rules of the game, if you will, and you know that they're in compliance with what they need to do, and we will do everything to help them achieve that goal.
Good. Is this something you do after store hours? I mean, do people know you're there? What happens when you walk in with your 50-pound weights and measures or whatever?
Well, they generally get a little nervous when we walk in. It's a random spot check. I come in, usually if I'm going to do a larger grocery store, I show up probably around 8:30 in the morning, and they understand this is how the day is going to go. Whatever they had planned has now changed to what I have planned.
Yeah. Way back in my history, I was a nurse, and the state would do that. They would spring on the hospital, right? And the rumor would be spread faster than a wildflower. The state's here, right? And then everybody would make sure, is the narcotic key closet locked? Who has the keys? Where's the this? Who wrote the last nurse's notes? Now, of course, they're using computers, but are your computers up to the... So it does create an anxiety, but the notion is... Really, underneath all that is thank you. thank you for keeping us on track, really.
Exactly. You really want to see how a business operates from day to day. And the only way you can do that is to show up unannounced to see exactly what's taking place.
Yeah. Oh, and so it is. And so that's a grocery store. And I think you said that you might even go into the pharmacy, right, and make sure that they're...
We do. We do check the pharmaceutical scales that they compound the drugs on for medication to ensure that they're accurate. We also check their automatic pill counters to make sure when they're doling out 30 pills, you're actually getting 30 pills, not 29 or 31.
Wow. What's the most, in your opinion, because I have no way to judge, what's the most unusual thing that you think you measure that must be measured that we would probably not even think of? Putting you on the spot here.
Okay, let me think for that a second. Actually, a lot of people don't realize that I check timing devices as well, like dryers at laundromats, vacuums at car washes. You're putting money into those machines and you're purchasing a certain amount of time for air or for heat for your laundry. And we ensure that you're getting the proper amount of time. A lot of people don't realize we do that as well.
That's important because, thank goodness, I have the privilege of having washer and dryer in my house, but any time I've ever been on the road, right, and I go to one of those things, and you swear that 10 minutes for that 50 cents or whatever it is can't possibly be right, right? So that's good. Now, your team of 100 do this?
I'm sorry?
I assume you have 100 people to do this with you.
No, I am an army of one right now, Suzanne.
Okay. And what you said you have weights and measures. I mean, is that pretty much, can you use that same whatever you told us about earlier for every job you do, or do you have a whole variety of things that you use?
Oh, I have different pieces of equipment for everything that I do. Like I said, for the grocery stores, I use weight kit to check the scales, but for the pharmaceutical scales, I have metric weight kits. Gas station, I go in there, I have a 5-gallon test measure. Actually, I have a brand new test unit, which we just purchased, which I'm very proud of, which I'm actually waiting to get it certified, which is going to make things go a lot smoother and a lot faster at the gas stations. But we use
How
that.
So?
Well, when I got here several months ago, there was a 5-gallon test cans that were being used that were being carried by hand, and that was fine. When you only had 8, 9, 10 pumps at a gas station, but now, you have truck stops and gas stations 48, 50 pumps. So you need something that's going to work a little bit faster, a little more efficiently. And that's what we just purchased. It's called a slip-on test unit. It mounts right in the back of a pickup truck. It has 3 85-gallon storage tanks on it, 3 test measures, one for regular, one for mid-grade, and one for premium. And on the top, mounted on that, which manifolds all 3 tanks together, is a 60-gallon tank, which I can use to detect high-speed diesel pumps.
Wow.
So
when I go to the gas station in gas stations around Hunterdon County, but I would imagine that that's around the state of New Jersey, and I would guess that that's probably around the United States. Mm-hmm. I can feel pretty certain that when I say, please give me, this is not how I order gas, right. But supposing I said, give me 10 gallons of regular, mm-hmm. I can be very, very assured that that's what's going to happen.
You can be relatively confident, yes.
Uh-oh. Notice the disclaimer there. I want to ask you in a moment why you do that, but I think it's time for our first break here. So Chris is going to help me get that up for you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambie's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambie's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambie's, purely delicious.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Well, welcome back to Hunterdon Chamber Radio. This is Your County at Work, Suzanne Legay, your host, and we're speaking with Millard Rooks, who prefers to be called Buddy. I want to tell our listeners a little something, and that is that they're teasing me unmercifully in these breaks. So if you can squeeze out a little empathy for your first-time host, send it my way. So, Buddy, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you for being our inaugural guest here.
My pleasure.
Give us your official title again here so that folks that might be just joining us know what we're talking about.
I'm the superintendent of Hunterdon County Department of Weights and Measures.
Okay, and we've learned a whole lot about what it is you do and how you do it and various places that you do it. Tell us why you do it.
Well, I do it because, number one, it's statutorily required by the state of New Jersey. I do it because I believe that it's an important job. It's something that really a lot of people don't realize gets done, but it's necessary to get done in order to ensure, you know, that there's, you know, a level playing field for both the merchant and the consumer.
Okay. And I'm wondering if you have any war stories you could tell us about that, you know, sort of unexpected things
I have a few things over the years. There was one story happened many years ago. I was working for Warren County. I was much younger back then. This was back in like 1990, and we received a consumer complaint that was forwarded to us from the State Office of Weights and Measures from a bookkeeper at Fort Dix, and the bookkeeper was questioning the amount of fuel oil that was being delivered to the base because they were. By their records, they were using as much fuel oil in the summertime to heat their buildings as they were in the wintertime, and she just thought that couldn't be right. So And the reason we were involved is because the company that had that contract, which is no longer in business, happened to be a Warren County company. So we did a little investigation with some other federal agencies, and we found that the truck that was delivering the fuel down there was a 7,000-gallon tanker. And it was one of those situations where you're looking at paperwork, and you just kind of, when you see it, it hits you, and that's what happened. And finally, I saw some invoices, and I said, how can a truck that holds 7,000 gallons of home heating oil be delivering 10,000 gallons at one shot? So a couple of weeks later, we went into the place with members of the FBI, and we looked at their trucks. And here what they had was what was called an illegal bypass on the truck. What that basically meant was is he had there was an extra piping on the truck where all they had to do was pull a lever, and they were going to just keep metering the same gallon of fuel over and over and over again. It wasn't actually going into the ground. It was just going in a big circle through the meter and through the pipe. So that was probably the most
egregious
story I could ever tell about somebody cheating. Yeah.
That's clearly beyond the norm. By and large, how do you find most of the weights, measures, the honest business people that are, and I'm sincerely asking that, the honest people that are needing this kind of measurement and this kind of report. What's your experience in relative to that wild one you just told us?
Well, that was an extreme case, but in most cases, you know, I find business owners, merchants, companies to be you know, honest and try to you know do things the right way. You know, sometimes things don't work out where there's mistakes that are made where you're not getting the right amount, but that's more because of error in machinery or computers or gas pumps, scales, they break, they go off. I will tell you, most times with a scale, when the scale's not working properly, the error goes against the store, not the customer, when it comes to a scale.
Yeah.
So
what are the consequences? I mean, supposing you find a scale not working, be it innocent, be it contrived, I'm going to go with the innocence on this. but what are next steps? So you find that. I mean, do you go back and double check it, or what's next?
Well, the thing is, if something doesn't work properly, it is their responsibility to maintain their equipment in proper working order. So if I do find a piece of equipment, a scale, a gas pump, whatever it may be, not working against the customer, where that, if the customer's losing money, there is a violation that will be written that would require the a representative of the business to go to court or plead not guilty, if they wanted to plead not guilty, which is always their right, or they would simply just pay a fine of a minimum fine, which is basically $100. That's the minimum fine we usually start out with.
Okay, so those consequences are, as you called yourself earlier, a law enforcement agent. So those they're enforced by law, and they're necessary to make sure that when any of us goes to the pharmacy, the drugstore, the gas station, or wherever it is we're going, that is what we're paying for.
That's correct.
Good. Any give me a second one, buddy. You surprised me with the first one. I mean, what's likely to happen on a regular basis that our listeners might not know anything about, since you're invisible, since you're stealth.
Since we're into another story, many years ago, going back, I'll probably say mid-90s this time, the Weights and Measures Department started checking not just the quantity of the gasoline that you receive at a gas station, but the quality of the gas. So when you pull into a gas station, you generally see you can purchase, either the regular, which is 87 octane, or the mid-grade, which is 89 octane, or the high test, which is 93. And the funny, when you pull in there, let's say you purchase 93 octane. How do you know you're getting 93 octane?
Exactly.
So what we started to do was we went out and purchased this little device called an octane analyzer. And we randomly went around to different gas stations and took samples, and we're testing octane at the stations. Well, I happened to roll into this one station, and I was in the process of testing the octane, and the owner happened to be there, and he comes out, and he's like, you know, and I knew the gentleman just from years of going there to do inspections, and he says, "Buddy, what are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm checking your octane." You won't believe what happened this morning. a tanker truck came in for delivery, and he put regular in my premium tank. I said, "Really? That just happened this morning, huh?" I said, "How about that?" You know, so when the fine and violation for that is very, very expensive. That's a $2,500 fine, and that's a minimum closure of 5 days of your business.
That's serious.
And if it happens a second time, and it's a forfeiture of your business license and a $10,000 fine.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But justifiably so, it seems to me, if you're paying for a premium, and I'm not much of a mechanic, but I think there are some cars that only take that kind of gas.
There
as
are.
So it has more serious repercussions rather than your pocketbook, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
In terms of the car.
And just let me say that in the first year that we did that octane testing where nobody knew that we were doing it,
yeah,
we found several different places that had that problem.
That same darn truck, that same very morning, had just made that same mistake.
I didn't get that answer, but I meant that they had less than 93 octane in their premium tanks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Great. So Chris, my left-hand man here, who's helping me on this show, has a great question. Do you have a mic, or are you going to use mine? Okay.
So, buddy, there's always been a mystery to the people that fill up their tanks, and after the pump shuts off the first time, they keep clicking it to put a little bit more in. And the rumor is that shouldn't be done because you're not necessarily getting as much gas by constantly clicking it and shutting it off compared to when it's free flowing. I was curious if you've ever tested that and can shed some light on putting that rumor to rest.
Well, I don't. That's not something I test, but I can tell you that when you keep clicking that nozzle like that, all that's happening is you're giving the next person in line more gas because it's filling up in the hose and it's just going to go into their tank.
Ooh, say that again.
If you keep clicking the hose after it shuts off, the nozzle, what's going to happen is the gasoline is just going to fill up in the hose. And the next person in line is going to get the gas that you were clicking in there and paying for.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, it's almost ubiquitous, isn't it? That when you're close to whatever dollar amount, or if they want to round it out or they want to give you whatever, as they click and click and click, that's a very familiar occurrence to all of us. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Wow. So tell us, you said that this is certainly a statute and we have to do it, you know, we need to comply here in this Hunterdon County or in the state of New Jersey, and I would assume that across the nation, that's a pretty similar thing, right? It's federal law, or is it?
Well, tell me
how that works.
This is what's interesting about it. Weights and measures, regulations and laws, they vary from state to state.
Ah.
New Jersey is actually probably the strictest weights and measures has the strictest weights and measures in the country.
What a surprise.
I mean, like I said, I live fairly close, you know, to, as we do here in Hunterdon County, to Pennsylvania. And I go over there sometimes, and, you know, the requirements for packaging and the selling of food products is completely different than it is over here.
That's an interesting, you know, we're not here for the comparisons necessarily, but the fact that there could be that much variation, just give us a sample of, or an example rather, of what that might be. How does that?
Okay, over here, if you go into a grocery store and you want to buy a loaf of bread,
yeah,
the loaf of bread has to have a weight on it. You can't just buy a loaf of bread. If you go over to Pennsylvania, you can just buy it as a loaf of bread. It doesn't have to have a weight on it.
So are you saying to me that Arnold's Bakers, and I'm just using Arnold's, this is just made up,
mm-hmm.
but they make bread for Pennsylvania and they make bread for New Jersey?
No. Okay. All their packages are standard. There's no law that says you can't have a weight on it over
right.
there. I'm talking more about their bakeries that they make fresh at their own locations.
Okay, sure. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, so that's going to vary across the state, not the state, but the country. Basically, it's this whole process that Hunterdon County was delighted to upgrade and elevate here recently with your coming about.
Thank you for saying that.
You're welcome. Is something that is really a service. I mean, the end user, we're talking here really, yes, there's a state mandate, there's a statute. Down here is the end user, and that's the person that you're really serving. And in the middle, your job is to perform your legal obligation, but it's also to work in partnership with those institutions that are going to see your face over and over and over.
Oh, absolutely. You develop relationships with business owners, especially the ones, that are, family-owned type businesses, because you see the same faces day in and day out. I'm actually going to name a place because I know the family very well is Bishop's Market down in White House.
Oh, uh-huh.
Great family, great people. I've known them outside of Weights and Measures. And, they do things the right way, though. I mean, I was in there earlier this year checking their store, and I couldn't find anything that was not the way it should be. It was, which is nice to see. I mean, you just develop relationships, business owners, managers at grocery stores, even though they shift sometimes from store to store over every couple months, they always make their way back. You see them again,
Ah.
It's nice,
Yeah. Tell me what happens, though. I'm curious about when new technology comes about with what, you walk into a grocery store, and if there's not many witnesses, I might try to check myself out. But if there's a long line, I'm going to opt for somebody that really knows what they're doing. But, as you have new technologies like that meet the needs of a fast-paced society, how do you integrate those? I mean, do the laws arrive with the technology, or do they arrive after, or then you have to have equipment to measure it? How does all that fit together as we move forward?
The technology nowadays is moving much faster than the training that comes with it. Just to give you an idea, everything now, I mean, there's an app for everything on your phone. So we check things, and eventually we do get training from the State Office of Weights and Measures. They'll have a professional development class where they'll give you a crash course on certain things. Eventually we do get trained on things. There's a lot of things coming down the pipe, too, that you haven't even heard about yet, like hydrogen testing. They're going to be having hydrogen fuel stations popping up pretty soon for hydrogen vehicles.
Oh, wow. So, or the plug-ins. Do you have any relationship to the plug-ins for our cars?
We don't have any of that around here yet, per se, the plug-ins or the hydrogen, but they're coming.
Wow.
It'll be here.
Okay. With that promise, it's time for us to take another break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt. that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel. And so I asked a close friend of mine to do it.
Former FBI Director James Comey admitting in front of Congress that he leaked information to the New York Times through a friend, hoping to get a special prosecutor appointed in the Russian investigation. Comey was later questioned by Arizona Senator John McCain about why he closed the Clinton investigation, when in Comey's testimony, he admitted that Loretta Lynch influenced his decisions to go public with his information about the Clinton investigation.
There's a whole lot of questions remaining about what went on, particularly considering the fact that, as you mentioned, it's a, quote, big deal as to what went on during the campaign.
President Trump spoke today to the Faith and Freedom Coalition event in Washington, D.C. The president said that in America, we don't worship the government, we worship God. He made no reference to testimony that was ongoing at the time by James Comey. USA Radio News.
For years, Ovation Cell Therapy has been repairing dry, damaged, flat, lifeless air. I use Ovation and love it. What are you waiting for? The unique breakthrough cell therapy treatment uses amino acids, key nutrients, and vital proteins to nourish the scalp and treat the hair from root to end. You won't find a treatment like cell therapy in any other hair care line, and it's 100% guaranteed. Whether you have split ends, curly hair, flat hair, damaged hair, or hair that's breaking off, Ovation Cell Therapy will work for you. Get your healthy hair back. Now is the perfect time at OvationHair.com. It's the perfect time because this week is free shipping for a limited time, so hurry and save money now. Go to OvationHair.com and new customers can save even more by selecting USA Radio News at checkout. That's OvationHair.com. Free shipping is on now, but it ends soon, so hurry. I'm your ice cream man,
stop me when I'm passing by. It's time to visit Pamby's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pamby's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pamby's, purely delicious. See, now all my flavors are guaranteed. I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by. It's time to visit Pamby's, the newest ice cream shop in... Okay.
Welcome back to Your County at Work. We're here today with Millard Rooks, known better to us now as Buddy. And turns out we had a bunch of questions to throw your way while we were listening to some of our commercials and the news. So you've told us a lot about your dry measures and your liquid measures and so forth. Tell us a little bit more about, you said that timing and home deliveries of fuel and stuff like that. Tell us a little bit how that goes.
Okay, we'll start with the home deliveries for fuel. We basically check the fuel oil trucks that come to your house to deliver fuel oil. We have a different piece of equipment, which is a prover, which could range from 100 gallons to 200 gallons. Each county has different sizes, whatever they choose. Right now, I'm using a 100-gallon prover that I actually have on loan from the state until we can get our own, a brand new one for us to use here. But what we do is we take a 100-gallon test, and we measure the fuel to make sure that it falls within the allowable tolerances. Same principle as a gas pump, as the fuel meter. We seal it up when we're done with a couple of lead wire security seals to make sure that it can't be tampered with. We check delivery tickets, make sure that the tickets are properly stamped with the proper information that needs to be on there. One thing we do over the winter is we'll go out, we'll take a day or two, especially a cold day, and we'll just randomly check some of these trucks on the road to make sure that they have their proper paperwork, to make sure that their seals aren't broken. You know, we do like it's a road inspection to make sure that the truck is actually in proper operating condition. But what makes it interesting is we generally don't check our own trucks. We check the trucks coming in from other counties to make sure that they're sealed up and in compliance with the law to deliver here in Hunterdon County.
Ah, I was going to ask that question too. I mean, do you follow them up the driveways to the, you know, or it certainly wouldn't work if they were in there before they left their own fuel tanking places. But You stop them, literally stop them on the road. How do you do that?
Well, like I said, I haven't done it in Hunterdon County yet, but in Warren County, we had a vehicle. We had lights and siren package. We just pulled them right over. Check them on the side of the road. Yep.
That's a thrill.
It was in the beginning.
Any other examples like that, that folks that go straight to the home for home deliveries? Probably not.
Well, we see there's other – well, now, we in the county level, we can only test certain things. There's other things that they test at the state level, like the state checks propane trucks.
Ah.
You know, we don't do that at the county level. State also checks large capacity scales, like the truck scales on the highway.
Sure.
They do that. We don't do that.
How often do you find truck stations, weigh stations open? I drive by one on 78. I drive by many of them all over the state. And by golly, you're hard put to find one open.
Well,
ever.
I commend you for having the courage to drive on 78. I have actually mastered getting around Hunterdon County without actually having to get on 78 very often.
When you live out west, though, it's pretty much your main artery there. But so the state does that, or the feds?
State does that, yes.
Okay. And you said earlier about timing. Tell us more. What timing devices?
You know, people don't realize when you're putting money in a machine like a laundromat or you know, you're paying for a service. You know, a commodity, which is time. You're paying for, you know, a certain amount of heat to dry your clothing, or if you're at a car wash, you're paying for, you know, a certain amount of time to vacuum out your vehicle if you use a vacuum.
Right.
Your standard gas station, you know, they used to joke, air's free. Well, air's not free anymore.
No.
You know, making sure you get the right amount of time to fill up your tires. You know, those are all things that, you know, that we have to check. So you might ask yourself, you know, how do we know where these things are and when they come into the county?
Yeah.
What we do is the state has a registration process where every piece of equipment must be registered with the state of New Jersey, and it's broken down by county. And every 4 months, the state sends me a list of all registered devices.
Huh.
And at which point in time, I go through and I will check off the ones that I have already done, and then I will go check the ones that are on the list that I didn't know about or you know, hadn't gotten to yet.
What's the volume? How many of these kinds of things are you looking at?
Well, it's broken down by pieces of equipment. I can tell you, because I actually figured this out, including diesel pumps, there are 1,937 gasoline dispensers. That includes diesel pumps in Hunterdon County, 687 scales. We also check tanning salons, the tanning beds.
How do you do that? That's a timing factor?
It's a timing factor. We there's other things we do that we just can't get to on a day-to-day basis. But if somebody makes a complaint, we check cordwood, wood for, you know, people sell wood. It's a lot of stuff.
How do you
taxi meters? We'll check taxi meters. Like, we don't have taxi meters around here. Everybody just charges from point to point. But if you go to the city, they check the taxi meters. Wow. So
how do you set the priorities between the number of pills you get in a prescription and how much air goes into your tire, buddy? How do you set those priorities?
Well, here's the way I do it right now. I feel you have to serve the masses. So the major grocery store chains, they're going to get checked once a year because they do by far the most volume.
Sure.
Same thing with the you know, gas stations. We're going to do the best we can to get them all, but certain areas that do high volume are going to get tested regularly, whereas others we're going to try to get to as best we can until I can get, you know, some help in my office to get things done on a regular basis. We do the best we can. That's all we can do.
Yeah. When you're talking about 1,000 plus gas pumps in this county, which is
1,937,
almost 2,000. That's an astonishing number to me. This must be a random kind of thing you do, right? Or do you test 1,900 and whatever pumps?
Each gasoline pump is required to be tested annually by statute, I'm required to take a 5-gallon test on each pump.
Every single one of those.
And I have to do, and then I have to repeat the test. So I have to do it twice. So I have to take 10 gallons. So that means I have to do two tests. So really, if you take that 1,937 and you double it, that's really what I'm doing, because I have to do each one twice. And if the pump fails, I have to do a third test to verify that it's failed. Yes.
That and the provolone, huh?
Mm-hmm. How long does it take to do those tests? Well, depends on the size of the station. I can tell you a station like a truck stop out on 78 will take me 3 days with the diesel pumps.
Yes.
Because of the high volume that comes in there. That could take me 3 days based on the equipment that I have available to me right now.
Okay, so now I'm creating a picture here. You have three of those semis all lined up, and you're standing there testing with your equipment, and they're doing what, honking their horn or having a fit, or what goes on there?
No, I usually take a road cone and I block off next one, but still, it's a matter of my vehicle tanks only store so much fuel.
Uh-huh.
So when I do a high, what it's called a high speed diesel test for a tractor trailer, I don't test it with 5 gallons. I mean, I take 60 gallons. I have a 60 gallon tank.
Wow.
So that's, it's to get a true measure, you have to run it at the speed that it's going to be pumping at. Yeah. You know?
Is that what you mean by high speed? It goes faster, literally, from the pump?
Oh, a high speed diesel pump that fills up, tractor trailers, that pumps probably 50 gallons a minute.
Wow.
Yeah. As opposed to a regular gasoline pump for pushing your car, that's probably more like, five, seven gallons a minute. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've said a couple times today, I have Chris Bianca sitting here helping me learn this. How do you know that it's going to take me this and I move the cone? What's an introduction to your job like, buddy?
Well, it's a lot of experience. It's a lot of learning on the job. The best way to do a test. I mean, you learn, the requirements of what needs to be done. You're certified to do the work, but then ultimately you have to develop the best plan to get that work done. And you only do that by me. I was actually mentored by a great gentleman who retired some years ago, and he taught me so much in the field, and I've taken a lot of those experiences with me, and that's really what you do. But as far as testing a station or a scale, you have to just have a plan and know what's gonna be best to get the job done and be the least intrusive on the business at the same time.
And that's do you get complaints
from
the fact that you're there interrupting the flow of normal day's business?
Sometimes I do, but I mean, but it's just what has to happen.
That's what's so. They know that that's it. Yeah,
that's exactly what has to happen. It has to be done. Yeah. Not everybody, I'm going to test it. If I'm going to test the deli scale, somebody's got to get done at lunchtime. Not everybody can get done at 9 in the morning. So.
Yeah. Right. We're getting toward the end of our hour already, believe it or not, you saved this Hurricane Katrina story for us. Every time he says Hurricane Katrina, the dimples show, the smile comes on. I want to know what makes you chuckle about this one.
This is actually a great story. When we're talking about laws, okay?
Yes.
Okay, just for a little, history lesson for those who don't remember, Hurricane Katrina, when it happened, it basically destroyed New Orleans, Louisiana, causing the price of gasoline to just raise tremendously. And I'm talking about not just a penny, here and there. We're talking about going up by like a quarter, 50 cents per hour, okay? And
that was during
Hurricane Katrina, yes, because the refineries were all destroyed down there. So there's a couple of laws on the books that say, number one, you can't sell fuel for less than what you pay for it. So if you're paying, I'm just going to pick a number. If you're paying $1.69 a gallon for it, you have to sell it for $1.70 or higher. You cannot sell it for any less than that. And the reason for that is back in when the corporate stations started coming into play, when they were basically trying to drive the small business person out by. They would come in with a big corporate station and be selling it under cost to get the business so that the little guy, you know, couldn't compete. And they would live off of their other corporate stations until that little guy was gone. Right.
Yeah.
So that's a statute that was created to, you know, to keep things, you know, fair. You know, you cannot sell it for less than you pay for it. But then the other statute says, there's another one that says, once you change your price at a gasoline station, that price must remain in effect for 24 hours. So when it came to Hurricane Trina, a lot of the gas stations were calling and complaining about their competitors, saying, he changed his price twice in one day. He changed his price three times in one day. So we were going out checking, the records and finding that this was to be true. And a station owner who owns many stations said, okay, well, I just want you to tell me which law that I have to abide by. And I was like, you have to abide by all of them. Well, it's not possible. I said, how is it not possible? He said, well, you're telling me I can't sell this gas for less than I pay for it. I said, right. He goes, but then you're also telling me I have to hold my price for 24 hours. And this is a high volume station. He goes, I get three loads of fuel a day and one overnight. He goes, the price is going up 25, 30 cents an hour. He goes, so you tell me which law am I supposed to follow? Because if I sell it at what I posted it at, I'll be selling it under price. Which, you know, it was one of the few times that I really didn't have an answer for anybody. And that got taken to a much higher level than me. And to my knowledge, I really don't even know how it all transpired. I never really got an answer as to what they figured out on it, but it was a very interesting situation at the time.
Yeah. What were you doing down there?
Where?
New Orleans.
I wasn't in New Orleans. This was in New Jersey this happened.
Oh, okay. You said with Hurricane Trina. I thought you were down in New Orleans.
No, sorry, what it is because the price, when that happened, all the prices go up all over the country because they fear there's going to be a lack of fuel.
Right, the refineries. Yeah,
so that was right.
But you left me in the,
I'm
you know,
sorry.
The floating city of New Orleans.
I apologize.
Sorry. No, it wasn't your fault. That's just my, that was my trend along there. So, Buddy, I have to say, after the information that you've just brought to our listeners, the wealth of information, you're no longer the invisible man. I think people are going to be looking for you to be asking you those questions. What didn't we ask you? I'm going to give you one more chance here, Buddy. What didn't we ask you that folks really should know?
If someone feels like they've been cheated, they do have recourse. I can be contacted by telephone. Anybody get your pencil out. My office number is area code 908-788-1249. I'll say it again, 908-788-1249. That is the Hunterdon County Office of Weights and Measures. If you feel as though you've been cheated or something maybe not be correct in a grocery store, a gas station, or anywhere else, with anything that you purchase by volume or weight or time, give me a call. And if you feel there's anything, I'll go out and check it, and we'll try to resolve your issue for you.
In your spare time.
In my spare time.
Buddy, thank you so very, very much. Once again, Millard Rooks, who is, give us your title.
The Superintendent of Hunterdon County Department of Weights and Measures.
Very informative. I want to save just a few minutes to talk about next show that we have next month coming up. But thank you so much for being here with us and being willing to be. Oh, what did you say when we first started? You said, I'm very glad to be first.
That's right. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure. Thank you. I did want to take a moment here to let you know that we'll be joining you again with this Hunterdon Living show, which is called Your County at Work, and it airs every first Thursday of the month. So our next visit together will be on July 6th from 4 to 5 o'clock. And the title of that show, I'm going to try one more tease with y'all, so I hope you'll come along with me with that. The title of that show is going to be, Who Does That? So I think you'll be hearing a little bit more about behind the scenes of the folks that serve you as taxpayers and that work for the county and with information that we think you probably don't know very much about. Again, Chris, I thank you very much for holding my hand through this one. Can I bid in for one more at least? Yes, he's shaking yes. That's great. Never mind that I spilled the water all over the equipment. Yes, okay, good. So the other thing you should know about these shows that we have, not just here at Your County at Work, but at 100 and Chamber Radio, is that within 24 hours of the airing of the show, when you hear a show that's particularly interesting to you or that you couldn't get a chance to listen to us streaming live, just know that within 24 hours, if you go to the Chamber Radio Facebook page, website, that the podcast will be up and you can listen to it at your leisure anytime, or refer to some of the information that Buddy described for you today in terms of weights and measures in the county. The other thing I wanted to say is with these podcasts is that we're going to be talking about Hunterdon County, New Jersey, which is a beautiful rural area and just about the center of the state, close to the Pennsylvania border. It's beautiful, it's pristine, it's farmland. But I'm thinking that the subjects that we talk about here are pretty applicable to just about any county, about any state across the nation, with, as Buddy told us, with a tweak here and there in terms of local regulations. So I'm hoping that you find the things that we talk about very informative for you, or if you refer this podcast to somebody you know that, geez, you know, this guy was here and he just told us all about weights and measures. So make sure that you let your folks know that there's a podcast that they can listen to, and it'll raise the questions for them maybe to ask in their local area. So we're here at Hunterdon Chamber Radio at WHCR-DB, and that's digital broadcasting, isn't it, Chris? And I understand that digital broadcasting is now going to be available and outcoming in new editions of automobiles as well. So we're going to have AM, FM, Sirius, and digital broadcasting. So this is something that you can ride along and listen to any of the shows that you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. So with that, I'm going to remind you that we'll meet again on September 6th, and we're going to be talking about who does that. Thank you, Suzanne Legay, signing off for today.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio doesn't think the suspect in Tuesday's deadly terror attack should get the death penalty. Scott Pringle reports.
President Trump made it loud and clear on Twitter that he thinks the man accused of mowing down the bicyclist with a rental truck deserves the death penalty. Well, Mayor de Blasio's response?
I'm not someone who believes in the death penalty in general. I just don't. I believe this is an individual who should rot in prison for the rest of his life.
De Blasio was asked if he considers the terror suspect an enemy combatant.
I consider a suspect an enemy of New York City and someone who did great harm to the people of this city.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
In a Capitol Hill briefing today, House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi rejected the Republicans' arguments that their tax bill introduced earlier today is actually going to help the middle class. Pelosi challenged Republicans to sit down with the Democrats to talk about real bipartisan tax reform.
Democrats want real bipartisan tax reform. We have always said we stand ready to join the Republicans at the table.
A new mysterious discovery has been made at Egypt's Giza Pyramid. USA Radio's Chris Barnes has the details.
A team of French, Japanese, and Egyptian researchers say they have discovered a large and previously unknown void within the 4,500-year-old structure, a discovery made using a method of tracking the remnants of cosmic rays as they bombard the Earth, kind of like an X-ray. The hidden area is about 100 feet long and is currently inaccessible, likely sealed off during the pyramid's construction, and it's not clear what's inside the void or what its intended purpose was. Findings have been published in the journal Nature.
James Drake's son, Darren Drake, was one of eight victims in Tuesday's terror attack in New York City. James talks about how he found out his son was killed in the attack.
My wife and I had gone for a ride, and we put on a radio, and we heard that there was an incident down by the World Trade Center where my son worked. And we just said, no. It would have to be too coincidental. And then as the day went on, and we didn't hear from him, and his cell phone went dead. You know, we just realized that as long as the night went on, he wasn't coming home anymore.
I'm Tim Berg. You're listening to USA Radio News.